for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shot like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Hour number one of the Boss and the Gloss on Sports Map Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. All right, the NBA can. They have decided that they will start their season. This is breaking news. The season will be a 72-game season, and it will begin December 22nd, just in time for our Christmas games. Those Christmas Day games are part of our holiday tradition now. But that's great. The NBA has figured that out. The Players Association has approved it. And, of course, they've got to shoehorn their season in so they can get a lot of games in and get the season completed prior to the Olympics in Japan.
So it is 10 games shorter than the normal regular 82-game season. But, you know, they needed to start in December, you know, for revenue purposes. I mean, that's a big week. Those Christmas Day games bring in a lot of revenue. I think, you know, I don't think this was a unanimous decision by any means by the Players Association, because you've got the older players like LeBron James who, you know, obviously ran the table all the way to the end, who wants some rest on his legs, and he's not going to get as much as he needed. But I say, you had your rest. Thank you, COVID. Gave you 5 months from the regular, you know, the almost finished regular season to when he could go. I think it benefited him greatly. You know,
but of course, they are going to play these games presumably in stadiums, and so they'll have to figure out how many people to let in, how much social distance you can do with so many people in a stadium. I mean, this will not be a bubble scenario this time.
No, well, hopefully it won't be. It's not projected to be a bubble situation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, the NFL has done it, and there are some semblance of fans in most stadiums now, and I guess it's worked out pretty well.
You know, NFL teams are really going through it, but you look at trying to control a 53-man roster as opposed to a 15- to 18-man roster. It's pretty different.
Yep.
I think, and, you know, given the size of the court and all of that, I think they can do it a lot. Hopefully, we'll have some more success, and maybe a vaccine will be our gift for 2021.
Counting on that. Boy, we need that for everybody's sake. All right, when we come back, we're going to look at the big matchup this weekend. It will be the Buccaneers and the Saints. Buccaneers featuring the return of Antonio Brown. That up next when we return on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Friday with the Boss.
In the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, there's a lot of love for Tampa Bay right now. I was looking at different power rankings, and many consider them the class of the NFC, the most complete team in the NFC. That struck me as a little premature. I mean, they lost to the Saints week one. They will play the Saints again in a very, very important game this week. So all this love and excitement that the class of the NFC could unravel if they don't beat the Saints this weekend. But the big wild card, and I don't know how much it will affect his first game back, but Antonio Brown now joins the Buccaneers. It's a very good group of receivers that the Buccaneers already have, although they've been injured, they've been banged up.
Evans is playing out of his mind. I mean, Chris Godwin is a question mark.
And they're working Gronk into the scheme. I mean, Gronk is seemingly getting his legs underneath him again.
Yep.
No, that offense has been good without Antonio, but now you bring in Antonio. And two dynamics. Of course, one is all the volatility that he brings, both on the field and off the field.
Oh, but he's going to behave now.
Well, that's
because he's with his BFF, Tom Brady.
Well, and
he's living with Tom Brady. That's a fact.
And yes,
again.
And he's been introduced to Tony Robbins, the self-help guru, who's working on him and making him a better person.
Oh, my.
Doesn't sound like you're overly optimistic about this move.
I'm a cradle raider girl.
Yeah,
how
you've been burned.
Even? Well, you think this is his third team, fourth team. No, third team. Because he went from, he got himself out of Pittsburgh in less than 2 years. on to Oakland, got himself out of Oakland, on to New England. That lasted less than 2 weeks, and now he's with Tampa Bay. Fourth team in 2 years.
Right.
And he's hardly played anything. As Ryan Clark said this morning, his legs are fresh as peppermints. He's ready to go. I love that.
Well, and the team, by all accounts, has said he's in extraordinary shape. He's in game shape. He has worked himself into real playing shape. He's ready to run.
But has that ever been an issue? Has his talent ever been the issue?
No, I guess it really hasn't been. It's been both. I mean, clearly his off-field issues, well-chronicled, abusive women.
Still going.
All kind of drama. On the field, though, there have been seasons and stretches where he's yelling at coaches, not good to teammates. He can be a very, very disruptive force.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's no accident that Pittsburgh is the only undefeated in the team in the NFL. They've got no Bell. They've got no Brown.
Yeah, they're team harmony right now, I suppose.
Yeah. So
the other fun sort of narrative about the matchup between New Orleans and Tampa Bay is just how old those two quarterbacks are.
Did you see the combined ages?
Tell us.
84. Woo!
I mean, that's amazing. So these guys have really preserved themselves well.
It's impressive, actually.
It's very impressive. Breeze, I think, is on his final year. Tom Brady, well, with the way things are going in Tampa Bay, I think he's got at least next year, if not one more year after that, because they've got some mojo there. There's a lot of chemistry there. They're feeling good there. They're starting to win there. And he looks like he's playing at a very high level, and he's always said he wanted to go to age 45.
Well, and you know what? New Orleans should be listening to you right now, because the key to that game, to me, for the Saints, you've got to pressure Brady, and you need to do it early,
yeah,
and you need to do it often, because he gets very angry, very frustrated. He's not used to being hit. He was so well protected in New England. He could tie his shoes back there before he threw a pass. So I think not only getting to him often, but starting it early. That's a challenge I give the Saints defense, because I think that's where you can really make a difference. And you've got a Saints team that Drew Brees was limited in practice this week due to a shoulder situation. Michael Thomas is a question mark. We have not seen him on the field since week one was our last sighting. Ankle issues, hamstring issues, discipline issues. So who knows what's going to happen with that. I think that Tampa Bay, I think their defense is not quite yet a consistent shutdown defense. You know, they've never seen the likes of an Alvin Kamara. They're about to see that this weekend. So I don't know. What's your prediction? What do you think? How do you think this is going to go?
I'm going to side with Tampa Bay. I just have a good feeling about them. I think they've got momentum. So, yeah, it's interesting. They did not show well against the Giants.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was one of
those. At one point, it was 14-3 Giants.
That's right. They sort of didn't deserve to win that game. But good teams find a way to win even when they don't have their best outing. And clearly,
that's right.
They worked their way back from that. Look, the Giants and Daniel Jones enabled the Buccaneers to work their way back into that game. But they did pull it off. And look, I can remember lots of games where Tom Brady and the Patriots really didn't show up and play a good game for 2 to 3 quarters and then put it all together and came out and won. And I feel like that's what sort of happened with New York. And I think it's a good precursor going into the Saints, because it's a reminder to them they can't just show up. They're going to have to really get their game from the very beginning, and they think they'll do that against New Orleans this week.
And I think it's hard to get up for a team like the Giants, because Danny Dimes isn't worth a penny. Okay, he absolutely gifted that game to Tampa Bay. I mean, he to me is not a legit starting quarterback in this league. He is a backup. I think he would be fine as a backup, and that's all I can say about him. But yeah, they're not seeing Danny Dimes again this weekend. You know, even with Drew Brees compromised, he's still not even close to Danny Dimes. And maybe he's not going to be compromised. I don't know. But out Wednesday and Thursday, limited in practice for Drew
Well,
Brees.
That, I mean, down the stretch there, Daniel Jones took the Giants down. They had the tying touchdown.
Oh,
and then on the
two-point
goodness. Conversion, you could debate whether there was pass interference or not. There should never have been even a question. The receiver was open. Jones saw him.
He hesitated.
And that was the
off.
Difference in tying that game or not. And that was on Jones, because the play was all set up and the receiver was very open for him. I mean, Jones just needs to be quicker on that. I mean, that's a throw he can make. It's not a question about getting it there. It's about decision-making and timing.
And you said it perfectly. His receiver got himself open, was where he was supposed to be in his route. And the hesitation and the timing that he was off, which he was off all night on his timing.
Yep.
Wow. Can't do that in the NFL.
One of the other great games this weekend will be the Ravens versus the Colts. They both come in at 5-2. It's an important matchup for the playoffs. I mean, the Ravens licking their wounds after their loss to the Steelers, but they are still a quality team. Their defense is outstanding.
Outstanding.
Clearly, their offense has struggled a bit. Lamar Jackson is not having the year this year that he had last year. And all kinds of questions now exist about, really, can he pass the team to a win as opposed to run the team to a win? And that's really the next level Jackson's going to have to cover.
No, it's very true. And, you know, they lost their left tackle, Staley. That was a huge loss last week in the Pittsburgh game. He's one of the best in the game. But, you know, with Lamar Jackson, he is such a phenomenal talent. Obviously, MVP of the league, everything else. But I worry about him in situational football. He doesn't seem to be able to carry them when their backs are up against the wall, because you look at his playoff record. You know, he just, he is electric. He's shifty. He's talented. He's elusive. But is he made for the big moments? What do you think?
Yeah, I guess my look at him
is... Four turnovers last week against Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
four.
It's, I don't know that he's a guy who's crumbling under pressure. I just think he's a guy who's not really ever developed the ability to stand in the pocket and throw it all over the field, throw it at different angles, throw it to different kinds of deep out routes on a strike, over the top with a great arch. That's just not who he is. And that's the prototype for winning in the NFL at the quarterback position. If you can run, that's fantastic. But it starts with being a good passer. That's the job. And I think...
It's a passing league.
Everybody got ahead of him last year. I mean, when you look at the openings on a defense, on how you attack a defense, it's great to be able to do a run option as they do. But when defenses come up, the openings in the field are just behind that crowd of bodies. It's
right.
7 yards downfield, and there's a big swath of openings. And if you can get positioned into that open field and you have a quarterback and throw it to any angle, to any parts of that field, that's where offenses thrive. And Jackson has not been able to do that consistently.
No, it's very true. And then you add the fact that the Ravens put 7 players on the COVID list this week, missing Staley, you know, disappointing game for Lamar Jackson last weekend.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be tricky. The Colts are powerful. And, I mean, look at Philip Rivers. What do you think? Are you all in? Are you in the Rivers camp?
Well, the thing about Rivers is when he's on and he's great. He's always been a little inconsistent to me. There'll be a game when he throws 2 picks inexplicably.
In a one-minute span.
In a one-minute span, yeah. But when he's on, and he's scary. I mean, if you have to face him and you face a good Philip Rivers, that's a real problem. And that Colts team is pretty well-rounded. Yes, I think the Colts are built to make a playoff run. I think they should get into the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be a deep playoff team, but they are a team that deserves to be there. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Ed Holm. He is the lead NFL writer for Yahoo and covers the NFL draft. And we're going to ask him about Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. How do these guys fare looking into the draft this year? It'll be Ed Holm when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Are the wiper blades on your car chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install your wiper blades free of charge. That's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Sports Map Radio Network is lead NFL writer Eric Ed Holm. Eric, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
Great to have you. Well, let's begin. The trade deadline passed. There was not a lot of activity. Did that surprise you? What made it such a sluggish trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a combination of things, but the biggest thing might have been the fact that the 2021 salary cap implications, you know, with teams, you know, likely the smart ones anyway, having to, you know, look a year ahead and decide, you know, can we take on salary now and have it really not impact our long-term plans and you know, financial future? Are we selling out, to use the Bill Belichick term, and potentially crippling ourselves down the road? So I just don't know that there were enough players. Like in the case of a Will Fuller, let's say, you know, there was a lot of talk about Green Bay. Their asking price was fairly high. I think most sellers decided, let's put some high price tags on there. You know, let's see if we can fish out a buyer, but none really came to roost. So it was probably the fact that it was people asking too much, and then also the salary implications for next year with a reduced salary cap.
Eric, we're based here in Houston, and so I was going to ask you about the Will Fuller trade that didn't happen. And
yeah.
Personally, I'm glad because Watson has lost his number one in Hopkins, and I didn't want him to lose his number two to have any semblance of decency left here. Do you see any hope for the Houston Texans next season, and what needs to happen with this lack of draft picks?
Yeah, I was going to work in a joke about had Bill O'Brien there, you know, all bets would be off for the trade deadline activity, but...
Not so funny down here, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, right.
It'll be funny sometime, Eric. Yeah. It's too soon.
Yeah,
too soon.
Exactly. It's a little too close to the mark, I understand. You know, I mean, it's obviously you have the asset that a lot of teams are looking for, which
right.
is the franchise quarterback signed up long term, right? You know, you'd love to have him still on his rookie deal, but Deshaun Watson is a superstar. I think that's a fairly unchallenged position in most NFL circles. Obviously, the crippling damage to the draft pick allotment, the construction of the roster, those are all things that have to be questioned. And I suspect it's not a one-year rebuild. You know, one fruitful offseason isn't just going to suddenly flip this thing on its head. You know, it's not just the receivers. It's still that offensive line. There's aging pieces on defense that need to be replaced. So it's a tough rebuild, but it's not an unassailable mountaintop. I think there are worse situations out there. I mean, I look at the Atlanta Falcons and say, yeah, I mean, I love Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and they've got some really nice players, but they're also in probably a worse salary cap situation next year. And with an aging quarterback or an aged quarterback, you have to decide how much longer is Matt Ryan in the picture. So, you know, it's not apples to apples, but I would say Houston at least has a little bit of a leg in that one regard.
We're talking to Eric Edholm. He's a lead NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. So, Eric, the Giants or the Jets, both, well, either one of them might land with the top pick with Trevor Lawrence. Would both of them jump on Trevor and trade the quarterbacks in whom they've invested a previous first-round pick?
Yeah, it's no longer a wild idea to see a team obviously move on from a quarterback,
yep.
You know, way sooner than what we were used to a generation ago, which was, you know, you gave these guys a full 3, 4, 5 years, whatever that number was, depending on how long quickly they got into the lineup, and you saw it through before deciding, you know, before sort of, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater and all that. So that said, when the Arizona Cardinals made a very bold move to move on from Josh Rosen a year after trading up for him into the top 10, you know, it kind of signaled a change in the NFL that the old rules don't necessarily apply anymore. And good for them in the sense that, I mean, you hate to see it to Josh Rosen, but they recognized their mistake and they realized that with a coaching change, they had to make a move. Those are the factors that we have to put into the equation for a team like the Jets. I mean, you don't see quarterbacks like Trevor Lawrence every day. I think people know that by now, that this kid may be truly special and rare. Is he going to be able to do it by himself? No. But passing on him could be devastating and could be the kind of thing that cloaks your franchise for years. So, you know, obviously they're in good shape with draft picks, too. They have the Seahawks first round, or they're going to have probably the first or second pick of the second round. Their situation feels a little more clear-cut. The Giants, maybe a little bit less so, but Daniel Jones has turned the ball over a lot.
Ooh,
and,
boy.
I mean, yeah, the fumbles, the interceptions, it's, you know, it's getting pretty bad. So as nice a prospect as he could be one day, he's just not there yet. And bird in the hand, two in the bush. You know, I would, if they landed in that number one spot, depending on who the general manager is, going to be hard to pass up on taking Trevor Lawrence.
So, Eric, talking about passing up on quarterbacks, I've got to mention the Chicago Bears. You know, the surprise,
yeah.
5-3 Chicago Bears. You know, you look at they traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky, passed on Mahomes, passed on Watson. Now they've got in Nick Foles. So if Nick Foles this weekend struggles against Tennessee, is there any chance that Matt Nagy goes back to Trubisky?
Yeah, and here's the other factor in that. I mean, had Trubisky not just had his shoulder looked at by Neil Alatrosh out in L.A., mm-hmm. you know, I think you'd have more of an argument to say, yeah, I think they have to at least consider it. Did he, you know, hook him too soon? Maybe, but it worked in the sense that it won them a game in Atlanta. But with Trubisky banged up, he's now week to week, so it's not going to happen probably Sunday or immediately after Sunday. 2-3 weeks from now, could we be having this discussion in earnest? Absolutely. So, you know, the Bears are in this weird spot, too. It's like, you know, they may win 9 games. That kind of hurts your draft standing. That
sure
hurts
does.
Your ability to possibly take another quarterback. So, yeah, they're like stuck in this sort of eternal middle class, I feel like, and they're finally back in the first round after the Khalil Mack trade. And they may not be able to help that position long term. Short term, though, yeah, there is the debate to be had about Trubisky once his shoulder is fully cleared.
Do you like the job Ryan Pace is doing in Chicago?
I like Ryan. I think he has an eye for talent. I think some of his draft picks have really worked out, Eddie Jackson being a big one. Eddie Goldman was a nice find in round two. He's not playing this season, but I still think he's a young talent who's obviously in their big picture. But the quarterback spot has obviously been the one that has held them back. You know, I mean, you can never hold one move against the GM as their, you know, the first sort of line of their legacy. But how do you not tell the Ryan Pace story and not talk about 2017, right?
Exactly.
And even if they didn't see Mahomes as that guy, I think everybody now with the investigative work that's been done on this realizes they seem to just brush past Watson so quickly in the draft.
Exactly.
Don't you feel like they just sort of made their minds up too soon? I realize they thought a lot of Mahomes. They just did not think enough of Mahomes to take him at number 2 or 3. And let's put it this way. They saw more in 14 starts of Mitchell Trubisky than what they saw in 35 games of Deshaun or 29 of Patrick Mahomes. I think those are the numbers, but you know, that's troubling. And that's unfortunately where you have to start with what he's done.
No, you're so right. And during that 2017 draft, I was bringing up the point that Deshaun Watson is a national champion on top of everything. And Mitchell Trubisky, the last I saw of him, was losing to a Stanford team in the Sun Belt Bowl, you know, when their starting quarterback was out with an ACL. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? But you make good points.
And Ryan, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
yeah, and Ryan Pace was in the stands wearing a baseball cap that day, like wanting to be, you know, to look like just another fan, although that haircut might stand out in El Paso. It's a little too nice, I think. I'm kidding. But no, I mean, he made a big deal about being at that game and realizing that it was Trubisky's grit or whatever you want to call it. He kept fighting. That final drive was impressive. I mean, he was trying to will them back to victory. But sometimes I think GMs will, or talent evaluators in general, will fall in love with one or two games. And if that's the case, why didn't you fall in love with, you know, Watson leading them back against Alabama down 10?
Right.
Those are the questions that I think are fair to raise.
Eric, we've only got about 40 seconds. I want to ask you Bill Belichick's comments this week when he said that they had sort of sold out and that hurt them for this year. What was your reaction there?
Number one, he's right. Number two, I don't remember Bill Belichick ever making excuses before. I mean, you know, you can be right and also wrong at the same time. I mean, I just, you know, he's always sort of drawn a hard line of we don't make excuses around here. And it's held up because they've won consistently year in and year out, you know, even if they didn't win a Super Bowl. So it was a little bit of a surprise. It doesn't mean he was wrong, but it was just a little bit out of character for him to kind of say that way.
That's Eric Edholm. He is a lead NFL writer. You can read him at Yahoo Sports. Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Have a great morning, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care.
You too.
Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
So, Ron, I know that you understand this. There's a little tension in the studio today because this weekend it's the matchup that we did not want to see, a matchup between the teams of our two friends here, Ron Culver's Chargers, Carla Dawson's Raiders. This is a tough one for you two, isn't it?
Well, I thought after the show we can just settle it. And just arm wrestle.
I was going to say, it's got to be an arm wrestle.
I want to hear from you first, Carla, why your Raiders are going to beat his Chargers.
They're mad.
They're mad.
They did not appreciate those fines from the NFL.
Right, Gruden. I mean, $150,000 is not chump change to anybody, right?
No, that's
so
right.
He's writing that check. He's mad. Well, and he wants to take it out on the Chargers.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's a division rival. It's a big game.
Right.
And really, Oakland, got to work on that. Las Vegas has to feel good coming out of this terrible conditions in Cleveland last weekend with a nice win.
Yeah.
You know, they adjusted, Carr adjusted his game to basically being a ground game.
Right.
You know, so I'm feeling good.
Well, they can
about
build
Las
on
Vegas.
That, frankly, because having a great ground game is something they, yeah, they had to do against Cleveland in that condition and that weather. But really, if they could carry that forward and build their team around that kind of an offense, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, Josh Jacobs is electrifying. He is a highlight reel. He is so much fun. He is so much fun. But Ron,
all right,
is Anthony Lynn playing for his job?
What's the case for you? Why are the Chargers going to beat her Raiders?
Because we will actually build a lead and hold on to it.
What? No, okay, you might build a lead. I'll give you that part.
We're going to hold on to it this week.
It's 2020.
Somehow, some way, that lead will remain that lead. I don't know if it'll be as big, because I think we'll build a big lead like we normally do. You know, it'll be a double-digit lead. I don't know if it'll end a double-digit lead, but I think this is the week where the Los Angeles Chargers, I almost did San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Between you and me and all the moves between those teams,
this is the type of game they should just hold in either San Diego or Oakland, just for fun.
Exactly.
Throwback weekend.
Even St. Louis and Oakland. What the heck?
But, I think this is the week that they actually hold on to a lead.
Okay, so they have had, four or five games where they had two touchdown-size leads, and then they couldn't hold on to them.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Anthony Lynn. Is he at risk of losing his job?
I think if this trend continues, yes. You know, I'm a big Lynn supporter. I have been from the get-go. I really like him. I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt when they were losing games. I was like, you got a rookie quarterback. You know, and I said on this show a couple of times. I made the comparison and went, Troy Aikman's first year. He went 1-15. I said, I'm fine with going 1-15 with the Chargers if that means that we get to have what Aikman had a few years after those 1-15 seasons, with three rings. I'll be ecstatic about that. But the fact that the way they keep losing these games is mind-blowing to me. When it was against Kansas City, it's like, all right, you can make the argument that it's Mahomes, but you know what, Aunt Lynn, you were a little bit too conservative. And that was his MO last season. He was a little bit too conservative. There are times where he's it's not even conservative play. It's just I don't know, bad decision-making, bad play calling. I don't know what it is.
Do you think they have enough pieces?
I think they do. I mean,
I do too. I look at that roster and I think so. But
you lose a little bit here and there. Austin Eckler would definitely help us out. But, I mean, we got a great rookie in Jackson. And, let's face it, Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, they're just lighting the world on fire right now. I mean, it's so much fun watching this team play.
Yeah, excuses are starting to run out for the
Yeah, that's what I think the problem is, and that's where his job is coming in danger, because you are running out of excuses. Next thing, are you going to blame it? The game's in Vegas this weekend, right?
It is in Vegas.
So is he going to blame it on the dome? The sun was in his eyes?
It's going to be the spirit of Al Davis
The sun was reflecting off the flame, which got into my, my coaching eyes, and I couldn't see what was going on. I don't know. It's almost like put up or shut up time.
I know. It's a division rival. It's always going to be a good game. Hopefully, it's going to be a good game. So may the best win.
It will. It'll be a fun game.
Hopefully.
So looking at the NFC East, always a hot topic, particularly now. Eagles really, really struggled to beat the Cowboys. Carson Wentz looks like a guy who has totally lost his mojo. He is inconsistent. He's not seeing space well. He's fumbling the ball. He's thrown some picks. What has happened to him? Because really, when you look at that NFC East, it is there for the taking for the Eagles if they just get normal or a slightly above average quarterback play from Carson Wentz. And I don't know that he's going to give it to them.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give Carson Wentz a grade for the game against the Cowboys.
Yes.
He gets an A from me.
Really?
He gets an A for awful and arrogant. So let's listen to this. So
well, that brought a smile to Ron's face, by the way. He agreed, I think.
I've got some stuff to back it up here, okay? So he leads the NFL in turnovers, interceptions, and sacks. He took 4 against a Dallas defense that is clearly struggling because of injuries and all. Turned the ball over 4 times. He makes terrible decisions. To me, that's inexcusable in where he is in his tenure in the NFL. Then, in this game last week against Dallas, it marked his 5th multi-interception game this season. He has 12 interceptions in 8 games. This is not a rookie. So there's his awful. And now let me give you my arrogant speech, arrogant backup. He goes into his presser, and he's got some Cam Newton type of outfit on. Well, hey, good for him, sporting it all. He basically says, I'm not going to change anything. Like, I got to play better, yes, but I'm just going to play harder. Like, I like what I'm doing. What are you saying? Did you just not hear the 5 things I just listed on why you are A for awful?
Right.
I don't think that's okay. It's one thing to be confident. It's another thing to be arrogant. And if you want to galvanize your locker room to be behind you, you have got to come clean with the mistakes you're making, because guys are putting themselves on the line for you. Yes, Philadelphia is riddled with injuries, but so is pretty much, well, they've got it pretty bad. Not as bad as the 49ers, but they've got it bad. So they've got all kinds of next man up, and he is sitting there saying, basically, I don't need to do a thing. What is he telling the rest of his team? I'm on fuego about this thing. I think Carson Wentz needs to go, and Doug Peterson needs to sit him. He needs to sit him, and then maybe he will figure out how to make better decisions. They've got Jalen Hurts. Put him in. The guy is a national championship winner, succeeded at Alabama, was the ultimate teammate and sportsman. When he was benched in the second half of the national championship game, lost his starting job to Tua. There was never an unkind word about Saban, about the Tide, about Tua, nothing. Carried himself with class, went on to Oklahoma, played fantastic there. This is what the Philadelphia locker room needs.
Wow, well, you heard it there. So you bench Wentz right now.
I would have benched him in the second half of the game.
I mean, the interesting thing right now for the Eagles is they are positioned to make a good playoff run, to get to the title of the division. I mean, it just should be there for the taking.
They probably don't need to win any more games.
That may be true, too.
Go ahead and take the NFC least. Wow.
I told you, I think 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to stand by it, that I think the dark horse in the NFC least is the Washington Redskins.
No, the Washington football team.
Okay, noted.
They don't have a name yet, but maybe they can have a division championship.
Well, look, I'm not going to beat the chest of the Washington football team too strongly, because they clearly, I mean, Kyle Allen is starting for them, et cetera. But Kyle Allen is good a quarterback in that division right now, and that's not saying a lot.
Right.
And they've got a great defensive front. I mean, Montez Sweat, you've got Chase Young coming on strong. They are a team that can dominate in the trenches, at least on the defensive side of the ball. They faced the Giants this week. They will beat the Giants. They will have 3 wins. They will go to 3-5 is my prediction. And they're going to be right there when they face the Eagles down the stretch. Look out for the Washington football team.
No,
how about that?
Go. They might even get a name out of this.
Well,
instead of the WFTs, I don't know.
The WFT, not the WTFs. If they win that division, that would be a WTF.
It would be. It would be.
Because the Cowboys, obviously,
David,
going nowhere.
Sorry.
We are in tank time in Dallas, and they are having a raging debate in Dallas about whether to start the great Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert. And I haven't seen or heard from Garrett Gilbert since he started he came in that bowl game for the University of Texas, replacing Colt McCoy against Alabama. And he actually played pretty well that half. But after that, he really hasn't been heard from. And now he has ascended in Dallas. He's sort of the last man up. You've got the next man up, but he's the last man up in Dallas. I think they'll start Cooper Rush for no other reason than Cooper knows that offense better. Cooper, of course, was a backup with the Cowboys in the last couple of seasons, so he knows Kellen Moore's offense better than Garrett Gilbert. But it would not surprise me to see Gilbert get some snaps.
And do you think they'll share the duties on
that? No, I think they're going to start Cooper. I know there are whispers of that. I think they're going to start Cooper and let Cooper go as long as he can. I think the Ben DiNucci era was short-lived. They actually think that he may have a future if he can get some seasoning and training. I mean, he came out of James Madison. He had no experience, and the game was just too fast for him. It was almost not fair to throw him to the Wolves this early in his career. So bring in Cooper, bring in Garrett Gilbert. Andy Dalton, of course, missed last week because of concussion protocol, and he's a credible backup, was set to return, and then he was diagnosed with COVID. So, you talk
really?
About snake bit. They've just got it going and going and going. I mean, you started the season with Dak Prescott, who had never missed a game. Very, very durable. And then he comes down with a devastating injury. They actually had planned well for that possibility with Andy Dalton, but then Dalton's now had a concussion and COVID. So here they sit with a bunch of no-names at quarterback and the Cowboys going nowhere fast. And really, at this moment, when you consider, well, we talked about San Francisco and all their injuries, and really perhaps no one's been injured as badly as they have. But when you look at Dallas,
they're not far behind.
No, I mean, they lost two quarterbacks. They're two offensive tackles, right tackle and left tackle.
God.
Travis Frederick, the center, retired right before the season started. They're starting.
He's looking like a smart man.
Yeah. They're starting tight end Blake Jarwin, tore his ACL. He's been gone. They only just got Leighton Van Der Esch back, mm-hmm. Sean Lee back on the defensive side of the ball. Gerald McCoy was injured and out for the season. He's a guy they intended to plug in at the defensive tackle spot. Up and down that team, they've lost real talent to injury. And so, yeah, this is just a regroup year. This is a year where you just bite your tongue and maybe you tank a little bit and position yourself for a future draft pick.
So, question for you. So, the Cowboys are not only missing Dak on the field, which is very clear, but also in the locker room. It's been a lot of vocal talk about, you know, frustration within the Cowboys locker room. They've been public about it with the coaching and that they're not prepared, this and that. Is Dak getting richer with each loss on the Cowboys schedule?
Well, clearly they're not the same team without Dak. That's clearly obvious. Whether he gets more money, I mean, he made a big bet on himself. I mean, he had a nice offer on the table. It was a 4-year deal, depends on which media outlet you read. He was being offered somewhere in the neighborhood of $33 to $36 million a year for 4 years with a healthy signing bonus, I think $50 million guaranteed. A lot of money. And he chose to bet on himself. There are two things that I would worry about if I were Dak Prescott's agent. One is, of course, he's got a significant injury from which he needs to return. And that's why you take guaranteed money in case the worst happens. And this is not the
worst.
He's
playing on the franchise tag this year.
Yes, he is. So he's had the injury. And the second is the economics of the league are not the same. So the pie will be smaller. We can all arm wrestle over what share of the Cowboys' salary cap pie goes to Dak versus to the other players. But the total pie is going to be lighter next year, given all the COVID economy, given that the cap will shrink to about $175 million. So those two things, his injury and the shrinking of the pie, suggest, well, maybe it's not going to be a bigger number than what was offered a year or two ago. That's just the harsh reality. That's nothing he did wrong. But he bet on himself, and those two things worked against him.
Yeah, well, you know, he bet on himself the year before, and he outperformed, and he set historical records. And, you know, in Dak's defense, he wanted a longer deal. He wanted more than 4 years, and frankly, he's earned it. He's durable. Like, as you said, up until this devastating injury, he had not missed a game.
Yep.
So I think they were splitting hairs there. I think both can be to blame, and, you know, they really need to take care of him now because clearly, without him, they are nada.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's not a lot of other alternatives out there. He's their guy. I don't think there's any mystery they want to keep him.
Yeah.
I mean, there's never been any equivocating statement from any of the Joneses, not from Stephen, not from Jerry.
Money talks, you know, getting it done, seeing what they did for Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a guy who, you know, 2 years ago holds out, and he's got a myriad of off-field issues. He holds out, doesn't show up at training camp, goes to Cabo, Like, really, how hard are you training in Cabo? What are you training for? And what does he get? He gets rewarded with the biggest running back contract in the history of the NFL up until now, Christian McCaffrey this year. So I think Dak sees that. Dak didn't have a contract in place. He shows up at training camp. He does amazingly well. He goes into a season, breaks every record, never complains, never anything, and he doesn't get rewarded. So I think the optics from Dak's camp are like, what are you doing? And now look at Ezekiel Elliott. He's a disaster. He's a fumble machine. Yeah. So what has he done with that $90 million? So anyway, I think that's hard. If I'm Dak's camp, I'm like, ooh, I don't like that.
So. All right, we're going to come right back. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Well, I've said it once before, and I'm going to say it again. I think that you, Carla, should be Dak Prescott's agent. You make the case for him as well as anybody.
I am an apologist. I really am. I'm crazy about it, which is so funny. You are the diehard Cowboys fan, and I am all about Dak.
I just think he should have taken the money when he had it, and he may live to regret that. I mean, I know he bet on himself, but there was a lot of money on the table, and we'll see how it works out.
You know what we have failed to mention today? The Pac-12 is kicking off tomorrow.
Glad to see them back. Hey, this hour, the Boss and the Gloss on Sports Map Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need to help to get through the loan process, Rocket can.